Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 42. So the year was 520 BC. And the word of the Lord began to come to the prophet Zechariah. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. 18 years earlier, God had moved Cyrus, the Persian king, to make a decree that the Jews could return to their land, that they could rebuild Jerusalem and the temple there. And with great joy, the people of God returned. And they set to work immediately. And within 2 years, they had repaired the foundation of the temple. And then the work came to a stop. It came to a stop because the surrounding people became very nervous. Nervous at the reestablishment of a Jewish population in Jerusalem and in that area. And so through threats and political maneuvers, they were able to stop the work on the temple. And that's the way it was for 18 years. Until God was once again on the move. And he moved the now king, Darius, to make another decree that the temple should be rebuilt. And God worked through the prophet Zechariah and through Haggai. And God, in a vision to Zechariah, said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. That's the way God would do things. Not by worldly power or strength, by human power, but rather by the Spirit of God. Today, as we reflect on the baptism of our Lord, we recognize that God works in that way. Not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit. As we reflect on God's prophecy through the prophet Isaiah, now our Old Testament reading for today, and as he's talking about the servant through whom he would work to bring about our salvation, Isaiah talks about the struggle of survival. He uses two images to do that. The first is of bruised reeds. Now, as you picture this in your mind, perhaps a patch of wild reeds, you see them standing tall and straight. But that's not the picture that Isaiah gives. He gives a picture of bruised reeds, those that are beaten up and battered, those that are broken so that they are bent over. Yes, even their very lives are in danger. Perhaps it was due to bad weather, animal traffic, or even human carelessness. But it doesn't matter. These reeds are bruised, and so they are bent over. These reeds represent people. People who are hurting, people who are suffering. And you know these people, because your paths cross their paths each and every day of the week. They may not be physically bent over, but perhaps emotionally, spiritually, or otherwise. And there are people in this world who are struggling. And perhaps you yourself. Perhaps you recognize that bruisedness in you as well. The second image then that Isaiah uses is that of dimly burning wicks. And again, the image is readily available to us. You see the candle before you. The candle with that oh so very small wick, with just the smallest of flames that is still glowing. It's still lit. Doesn't give much light. It's not very healthy. As a matter of fact, you're afraid that any moment it could be extinguished by its own wax. the dimly burning wick also represents people, people with a weak faith. And again, you know these people. They're people who struggle with doubts, that their faith is not strong. They perhaps are questioning God, why, all the time. They don't understand it. They can't get a handle on things. Their trust in God is just not there. Or perhaps people who struggle with the temptations of the flesh. Their faith is weak. We pray for these people. Or perhaps you find yourself there too. You recognize that your flame of faith is not very big right now. That is, in fact, quite weak. Maybe even in danger of going out. Isaiah talks about these folks. Talks about us. But, you know, he doesn't just talk about the struggle for survival. He also talks about the love of God for these people, for us, in Christ. And so in verse 1 of our text for today, he presents his servant. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. Notice who the servant is. He is, first of all, a servant, one who does the will of God, upheld by God, meaning in the authority of God and empowered by God, chosen, that he is, in fact, the anointed one for this ministry of God, one in whom God delights because he pleases him very much in being obedient to him. And the Spirit is upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of God, uniting him with God. Matthew, as he records the baptism of our Lord, makes sure that we understand that this one who has come to the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by John is, in fact, the one that Isaiah is talking about. That he is, in fact, the fulfillment of this prophecy. For Matthew quotes this passage in talking about Jesus. Again, our gospel. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." But let's return to Isaiah chapter 42, because there's more. It's not just who this servant is, but what this servant does and how he does it. In the span of the first four verses of Isaiah 42, three times it says that this servant will bring justice. It's pretty clear that that's his task, to bring justice to the earth. But what is that justice? We might think that it's civil justice. You know, justice among us and how we deal with one another. To make things right among us and to enforce that dealing with one another in righteous ways. And in fact, that's why God gives us government, to help us to do that. That's why he calls them his servants, so that there might be justice on this earth. But that's not what's being talked about here. It's a part of it, but a small part. This justice that is being talked about is really about justice, God's justice. And as God brings his kingdom into this world, and justifying us to God, making us right with God. That's the justice that's being spoken about, which does find its way into our lives with one another. But this is the justice of God and of his kingdom. But the important thing here for us is to see how that is carried out. How is that justice brought? because we might think that it is in power, that it is in might, that it is according to the law, that is by punishment. But there's quite a different picture that is given to us here of this servant and how he brings about that justice. And so if you look in verse 2, it begins to describe how he will do this. Woven into those three mentions of bringing justice, there are seven negative statements about how the servant will go about doing this. So in verse 2, he said, 1, he will not cry aloud. 2, he will not lift up his voice. 3, he will not make it heard in the street. 4, a bruised reed he will not break. 5, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. 6, he will not grow faint. 7, he will not be discouraged until he has established justice on the earth. As you hear those things, how then would you characterize the work of the servant who brings about God's justice? Perhaps gentle patience is a good way of describing it. With gentle patience, with grace, he does this work of God. And now, once again, think about Jesus and his ministry here on this earth. And that is exactly what he does among us. That he has compassion on the bruised reed and on the dimly burning wick. So Jesus talked publicly with immoral women. He socialized with sinners and tax collectors. He exorcised demons. He helped and healed the lame. He gave sight to the blind. He had compassion on the crowds. This is God's servant. This is how the justice of God is brought among us. And not only do we see that in Jesus' ministry, but we see it done among us here today as well. Jesus does not come among us to wreak destruction. He does not come to hammer us with the law and condemn us. He does not come to break the broken reed, but rather to bind up the brokenhearted. He does not come to snuff out the dimly burning wick, but to rekindle the fire. And you say, this is the justice that Jesus brings. It's not the justice of God's wrath, but it's the justice that God poured out upon Jesus upon the cross to gain for us forgiveness. As we heard in our text for today, he does not raise up his voice in the street, which reminds us of another of the servant songs that comes just a little bit later in Isaiah chapter 53, that passage that we read on Good Friday that says, like a sheep that is led to the shearers is silent, so too he did not open his mouth, which reminds us of Jesus' passion. It reminds us of his trial, where he allowed himself to be falsely accused and abused and falsely condemned. He allowed himself to be crucified on the cross so that the justice of God might be satisfied in the death of Jesus and that we might receive his grace and his forgiveness. God's answer to the oppressor is not more oppression. God's answer to the arrogant is not more arrogance, but rather Jesus takes evil into himself that he might return grace to us. And so it is for us, for we who are the bruised reeds. We who are at times that dimly burning wick, he has come in mercy and compassion and forgiveness to bind up our broken hearts and to rekindle the flame of our faith. This is the work of God. This is the work of God's servants. This is the work of our Lord Jesus that has begun in his baptism as he comes to the Jordan River, coming for us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.